I'm going to say something, literally. Guys, all right, listen, you can murder me in the comments for this. This is going to be, again, I think a bit more my opinion than it is based on actual strategy thinking. Justin Bieber's wife. Everyone's going to kill me for not knowing her name.
Okay, y'all.
Hello? Is this thing on?
Okay, y'all. Welcome back to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Carter. Thank you so much for clicking on this video. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on everywhere podcasts are available, absolutely love you. Welcome back. Today is episode 9, and it's going to be a doozy. We're getting a little controversial today because we are talking about the best and worst buys from every luxury brand. Now, listen, I see the pitchforks coming from the distance already. This is my opinion. If you own any of these items that I'm saying is the worst buy, because girl, you wear what you love and enjoy it. You get that cost per wear out of that item. What I'm specifically talking about today is going to be pertaining to investment value, because of course, this whole podcast is about luxury investments and how to turn your closet into an investment portfolio. So we're strictly talking about when you buy something from a brand, how much it appreciates or depreciates over a period of time in your closet. So I'm going to be naming specifics. What is the best item from a brand that you can buy as far as investment value, as far as resale value, as far as asset value, right? And the opposite. What is an item from that brand that depreciates in value the second you buy it? If you buy that item retail and walk out of the store and you went to go sell it straight away, you would not get your full investment out of it. You would get the worst return on investment out of all the other items in the store. Those are the items I'm going to be naming specifically as well. We might be kind of general on certain things. I'm basically just going to explain the concepts so we can have a fun chat together, but also so you can understand a bit of the basics and take that knowledge with you next time you go shopping. So without further ado, let's start off with a bang and do Chanel. Listen, we all know Chanel is queen for investment value. If you want to build a closet portfolio, if you want to build an asset portfolio that you can wear and will only appreciate over time, boo, it is Chanel. All day long, every day, every year of the week, Chanel goes up in prices around 20% every single year. And they've been doing that since the 80s. Like, we don't even want to talk about the fact that a double flap has doubled in the last 5 years. Doubled. It's depressing. We're all sad about it. But listen, all of us that already have double flaps are thriving in our appreciated asset, in the capital gains in our closet. So, what is the best item you can buy from Chanel and what is the worst? Let's get into it. In the best category, we've already talked about it. Is anyone surprised? It is the double flap. I will include some pictures if you're watching on YouTube. For everybody that's listening and you're video inclined, I also upload these episodes to my YouTube channel, which of course is currently Carter as well. And sometimes I include visuals and pictures about what I'm talking about. So if you're ever confused or you want to watch over there, it's also a fun time. Okay, so we have the double flap. If you guys don't know, the double flap is the most iconic bag from Chanel. It is because it is one of the very first bag shapes that Chanel ever came out with. Originally, they actually had what was called the reissue. It's still available today. It's called the reissue or the 2.55, and it is the same double flap shape, but it does not have the CC turn lock. It has a rectangular turn lock. The CC turn lock actually never came into play on bags until Karl Lagerfeld came on as a designer to help Chanel, and his marketing genius created the CC turn lock that we know today. And because it's been in production for so long, it's become so highly recognizable. You can buy one from the 80s and it looks exactly like the one that you're buying in the store today, but the one in store today is $8,000 and the one in the 80s cost $500. You can see how this definitely wins our number one spot as the best luxury asset from Chanel. And coming in at the number two spot, we're gonna say costume jewelry. Again, this is just my opinion, But I'm going to give you a little bit of the insight of why I've chosen what I've chosen. But if you disagree, comment down below what you would have picked and why so we can read through them together. I feel like that'll be fun. I have picked costume jewelry as number two because of brand awareness. What do I mean by that? The CCs on costume jewelry are usually the center point, and anything that heavily identifies the brand inherently is always going to have better resale value all day, every day. The smaller the logo, the smaller the resale value. That's what we say here on Currently Carter. But no, seriously, that's actually real. The smaller the logo, the smaller the resale value. The bigger the logo, the larger the print, the higher investment value you are going to get from that long term. Just because people on the resale market are typically looking for something that is branded that you can tell, with really very few exceptions. So things like CC brooches, CC earrings, literally anything that features a turn lock, a CC turn lock, money. Gold, buy it if you are looking for an investment value, because that is one of the best things you can buy from Chanel. Gold turn locks. They have turn lock earrings, they have turn lock necklaces, there's turn lock boots, and all of them resell much, much higher than even regular costume jewelry because the turn lock, again, is so iconic, and the more iconic, the more resale value. Now for the bottom two spots. We're getting into the controversy now, guys. Ready? Get the tea. Sip the tea. Now, again, we're giving these bottom two spots, but there is a bit of a caveat because Chanel is one of the best brands as far as resale value overall, meaning most of their items are going to appreciate in value over time because of the pricing structure, because of the fact that most of their items are heavily branded or feature a CC logo somewhere. So these two spots are the worst because they're not going to appreciate as much as other items, but most likely you're still going to get a lot of your investment back out of it, if not all. First up in the number one spot is the non-branded blazer. Now, what do I mean by that? We all love Chanel blazers. Yes, we do. But there are the iconic Chanel CC blazer, meaning they're tweed or wool or boucle, and they have amazing, gorgeous CC branded buttons with a chain detail on the inside. The silk lining has CCs and camellias all over it, and we love it. The vintage ones are incredible. Resale value is great on those. But there are a lot of modern day Chanel blazers that do not have CC buttons. And if you didn't know better, you couldn't tell that it was Chanel at all. Now, they're just as expensive blazers as the branded ones. So they have the price tag, but not the brand recognition. And that means depreciating asset. Again, in Chanel, you have enough Chanel fans that will probably buy that from you on the resale market for a good chunk of what you invested into it, but it's going to be a very long time down the line, and Chanel is going to have to price increase a lot for you to get your initial investment back out of it with no branding on it, which is why it is in the number one spot as the worst investment from Chanel. Number two spot goes to, and I know I'm going to get some judgment on this one, the fine jewelry. I know. Listen, guys, it's gorgeous. It's amazing. It's rare. It's beautiful. It's an amazing piece, an amazing collection to buy from if you are a true Chanel fan. But investment value wise, not so much. Not so much. And that is because, again, it does not have the logo recognition along with it. If you are a Chanel fan, you know what the cushion ring looks like. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. But would the average Joe know what the cushion ring looks like and is? Probably not. Would the average Joe maybe buy a Chanel ring that had a CC logo on it? Yes, but there are a lot less people that are going to notice and buy something like the cushion ring, but the cushion ring comes at a much higher entry price than costume jewelry does. The cost per wear of that ring is very, very low, and therefore a great investment maybe for you, but as far as an appreciating asset, not so much. Okay, so now that you've gotten a bit of the logic and the thought process behind what makes a good investment value, let's kind of power through some of these other luxury brands. Next up on the chopping block is Louis Vuitton. And coming in at number one, one of the very best luxury items you can buy from Louis Vuitton as far as investment value is the vintage Louis Vuitton trunk. Oh my gosh, they're gorgeous. We love them. But there's only so many in circulation, meaning they are rare and incredibly timeless classic pieces. They look exactly the same modern day as they did vintage. And as we saw from the Chanel example, if an item has the same blueprint as its vintage predecessor, then it is a classic piece that will retain its value extremely well. Coming in at the number two spot is the Neverfull and Speedy. These are the two most classic, most iconic purses from Louis Vuitton and therefore retain their value very, very well. You can love them, you can hate them, but they will retain their value because they go up in price every single year. And because they're a classic piece and highly recognizable, a lot of people are going to want them and buy them on the resale market, pushing up their price, meaning you're almost always going to get your initial investment back out of that bag if you sell it 5 years later. Obviously, condition matters, so it needs to be in good condition. But it is going to be very easy for you to get all of your initial investment back out of it, probably plus a profit. And coming in at number one, the worst luxury item from Louis Vuitton is literally anything in Epi leather. Now, Epi leather is the colored leather from Louis Vuitton. They have it in a lot of different styles. They put it on a lot of different purses. And it is actually more expensive than the canvas bags in Louis Vuitton because, of course, it's pure leather versus the canvas material, but on the resale value, it is not a good investment. You will almost always lose out on money if you bought an Epi leather item full retail in store because people just don't want full leather from Louis Vuitton because there isn't that classic monogram logo that everyone associates with Louis Vuitton and has become so classic. That is where your investment value is. That is what it's going to retain its value long term. Anything that has less logos or is just literally the opposite of what the classic item or category is in that brand is inherently going to be one of the worst things that you can buy as far as investment value. Coming in at the number two spot for the worst luxury asset from Louis Vuitton is the furniture. The furniture from Louis Vuitton is very much a novelty, expensive, luxurious, trendy item. It is not an item that is going to last the test of time. The egg chairs is what comes to mind when I'm talking about this. They are very much well known in luxury circles, but as far as long-term investment value, absolutely not. Down the drain, there is not going to be very many people at all that are going to pay you anywhere near what that cost retail value. And that is why it is definitely in the number two spot for the worst item you can buy from Louis Vuitton. Next up, we have Hermès. Now, of course, most of us know Hermès is one of the top brands as far as resale and investment value goes, but mostly on their leather goods. And that is really down to their marketing strategy. Because you cannot walk into the store and buy an Hermès leather good item, you have to be offered it, inherently it is always going to be much higher on the resale value because of that exclusivity. Which is why, of course, the number one spot for Hermès is their purses. The Birkin, the Kelly, the Constance really all fit into this category as the number one spot for the best luxury item you can buy from Hermès. Is anyone surprised? Absolutely not. For the number two spot, though, in the best category, I'm actually going to go with maybe an unpopular opinion. I'm going to say the Iran sandal. The Iran sandal is a classic style of shoe from Hermès. And I'm putting this in the number two category because they are so incredibly iconic and comfortable and sought after that you are very easily going to get most of your investment back out of that shoe, even having wear on it. And that is because they are very recognizable and all of the different kinds of colors they come in are very highly sought after and hard to find whenever you go into store. They're hard to find in your size. They're hard to find in the particular kind of leather you want. So as it goes, if you have a highly coveted color in a good size, you are going to have a large pool of people willing to buy that resale. And of course, the larger pool of people, the higher the resale value, the more competitive it is. And that is why I'm putting the Iran sandal in the number two spot. Okay, now for the opposite. The worst item you can buy from Hermès, I'm putting in the number one spot is the non-branded ready-to-wear. Hermès has a lot of amazing classic pieces that are so subtle in logo, not even the most proficient luxury lover is going to be able to tell it's Hermès. Unless you are in Hermès all the time and you have just memorized the ready-to-wear for that season, there are many items that you are not able to tell that it is Hermès, but it has that Hermès price tag. And because it is so unrecognizable on the resale market, it is not worth very much. Most of the time, people are buying ready-to-wear and those items because they're trying to get their buying history up with their essay in order to meet the unspoken buying quota to maybe get offered a quota bag. So it's really more about the buying history and status with their essay than it's about the clothing that is so non-branded. Now, you will have other ready-to-wear items that have horse spits or have the H logo, and those are great. Those are great investment value because you have the brand recognition, but the ones that are crazy subtle that no one would be able to tell, not a good investment. And for number two in the worst spot, I am going to say the China. Now, there are a few exceptions. There are some very highly sought after, very iconic China sets and teacups and mugs that you can buy from Hermes that are amazing. But there are also very obscure ones that, again, not very many people are able to recognize and therefore is not going to be a good investment long term. If you ever wanted to resell that set, you're definitely going to be able to get some of your investment back out of it. There's enough people that would be able to recognize it or just want it because it's Hermes. But are you going to be able to get the full retail value out of it? Probably not. Next up, we have Dior. The number one best item that you can buy for the resale value of Dior is literally nothing. No. Dior as a brand is very interesting. It is very popular, but it is very well known to not be a good investment value, meaning you cannot buy hardly anything from Dior retail and have it retain its value. And there's a lot of different theories on why. It's actually quite interesting. In my opinion, I think it's actually because Dior has changed its logo so many times throughout the years that there isn't a strong sense of a particular logo that has been theirs since the 80s, and there's just one item that has been iconic for them and therefore is highly recognizable and everyone wants to purchase it on the secondary market. They really don't have items that fit that category. Dior has gone through several phases and several different kinds of logos and different kinds of bags. They make a bag really popular, and then they discontinue that bag, which I think is really interesting. It makes things very trendy, big hits for a few years, and then they discontinue it, and the resale value of it plummets. Now, they might be doing some of that on purpose. It would be really interesting to kind of get an inside scoop of Dior's strategy and marketing on why they have done what they've done throughout the years. But because of those reasons, it really is one of the worst brands as far as investment value goes. Now, there are a few iconic things like the Lady Dior. That would be one of the only things that fits in the category of longevity, but they've had so many different sizes and spinoffs. Even the Lady Dior isn't able to retain its resale value based on what it cost retail right away. Now, you can maybe get your initial investment back out of it if you waited a very long time as a very long investment strategy, something that's going to sit in your closet for 20 years, and then you're able to resell it in 20 years, it's still being in great condition because it's a Lady Dior in a very classic style, and because they've had so many price increases, maybe you get it for what you bought at retail, but much more likely and a much better bet is you buy a Lady Dior on the secondary market, and then it will hold its value for what you paid for it on that secondary market. It does retain its value on the secondary market very, very well, but does it retain its value based on the retail value? Absolutely not. Pretty much, it's going to decrease around 50%. That's kind of how it goes, around 50%, unless it's a trendy item that is very, very hot right now. Those are great short-term investments, but long-term investments, an asset that just sits in your closet and appreciates in value over time, Dior is not the one. But if we're going to give it a best, the number one category is the Lady Dior for sure. And now in the worst category for Dior, the worst thing that you can buy is a seasonal bag. Because of how often they discontinue their seasonal bags, it massively affects what you can get for it on the secondary market years later. If it's already out of production, nobody remembers that bag from 10 years ago. It's seen as old, it's seen as outdated, and it inherently will not have very good resale value if it doesn't have the newest logo or the newest styling of Dior. And that's why I'm putting seasonal bags in the worst category. Let me know if you disagree or if you have another item from Dior. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts. Next up, and we'll kind of start powering through these a little bit faster, is Louboutin. I think the best luxury item you can buy from Louboutin is the Bagall Fully 100s. They are one of the most comfortable shoe and the most wearable and iconic, ideally in a neutral color. I think there's a large amount of people that love that shoe, and therefore it will always hold its value on the secondary market very easily. In the worst category for Louboutin is, without a doubt, their bags. Guys, their bags and wallets go on such massive sale every single time Louboutin has a sale. Do not buy those retail. They are always so inflated on the retail price and they drop dramatically every single sale. And it's even hard to get the sale price out of those items on the resale market. Again, you are going to get some of your investment back out of it, absolutely. But are you going to get the full retail price, even maybe what you paid for at retail sales price? Back out of it on the secondary market? Not really. There's not enough people that recognize Louboutin as a bag brand. They are great bags and they're great quality. I actually love them, but resale value wise, not it. Definitely the worst thing you can buy from Louboutin. Next, we have Gucci. Now, I will admit, I am not the most well-versed with Gucci, so I could be wrong here. This is just my opinion, but I think one of the best things you can buy is the Princetown or the Jordan loafers, and that is because they are so incredibly classic and iconic. There is a very large amount of people that love them. They come in a lot of different colors. I own like 3 pairs of them. I think they're classic. They've been around forever, and that is why they're one of the best items to purchase from Gucci. Gucci does a lot of trendy items, meaning they are crazy popular for a very short period of time, and then they fall from grace and nobody likes that anymore. And then there's a new trendy item from Gucci that everybody loves and goes to buy. And then once again, the cycle continues. It's not popular anymore. So Gucci is really something that you can buy short-term investment-wise and very much make your money back out of it and probably with profit. But long-term investment-wise, I think there are fewer items. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm curious to see what your thoughts are in the comments. But for the worst item from Gucci, I put it as the watches. The watches are very expensive. They're around $1,500-ish. And on the resale market, I just never see Gucci watches holding their value. I see them maybe at a third of the price of what they cost retail-wise. They're very much seen as a brand watch and therefore I think doesn't really hold up its value with a lot of the other classic watch brands. And maybe that's why it doesn't hold its value, but that is why I put it at the bottom. The worst thing you can buy from Gucci, I think, is the watches. Next up, we have Burberry. I love Burberry. I'm a big Burberry fan. Their check print is incredibly iconic and longstanding, which is why, of course, in the best category for them, I am putting their scarves. If you have a check Burberry scarf, it is one of the most recognizable things that you can buy. There are a lot of people who can recognize them and love them, and therefore they will hold their value very, very well. They also go up in price every single year. So inherently, of course, it's going to raise its resale value throughout the years. I own several of them. They're just so easy to style with everything. You can have winter, you have summer ones. It is a classic piece that stands the test of time, and that was why it was awarded the number one spot in the best category. Now, the worst category for Burberry. This is going to be, again, I think a bit more my opinion than it is based on actual strategy thinking, but literally anything with that TB logo. I know it's the modern Burberry and it's supposed to be like the new age of Burberry and it's young and it's fresh and it's like, you know, check is classic and the TB logo is like modern and I hate it. I literally hate it. I feel like this is the only one that I'm being particularly biased on, but I'm just not a fan of the TB logo. I think I just fell in love with Burberry for the check and the TB logo almost, it literally, I'm going to say something literally, guys. All right, listen, you can murder me in the comments for this, but I feel like it just looks like Tory Burch to me, right? Like it's TB. And like it's positioned in the same way that Tory Burch positions their logo. So it's just like maybe it's not really the same way. I don't know. When they first came out with it, I was just like, that's literally Tory Burch. Why are they making Burberry TB? No, absolutely, you know. So anyway, listen, guys, you can murder me in the comments. Like I said, I get it. I will own this one, but it's mainly the worst because one, it's not classic. It's not iconic. There's probably some items in there that are like really popular and amazing. You could totally get all your investment back out of it. But based on principle alone, it's in the worst category for me. Next up, we have Fendi. Now, Fendi is an interesting one. They are very expensive retail, but they do have very good sales and they have a great brand logo. Interestingly enough, their most popular bag is the Peekaboo, and that has no brand on it. It says Fendi very small in the turn lock at the top, but it is their most classic and iconic bag. Now, you can get a Fendi logo strap that goes alongside it, and it makes it much more recognizable as Fendi that way. But yeah, it's very interesting that their most iconic bag doesn't have their logo on it like all of the other brands do. Most of the most iconic or the most famous bags from a brand are the ones that are the most logo heavy. Now, of course, that doesn't pertain to Hermes, but Hermes doesn't have a patterned logo that is very iconic, right? I mean, they have the H with the circle, but Fendi literally has Fendi, like the oblique pattern that is full on Fendi, the FF monogram that's across a ton of their items. So I just find that really interesting and made this kind of an interesting one to debate. But in the end, I gave the number one spot in the best category to Fendi shoes. I know. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with me on this one. But listen, Fendi shoes always go for really high prices on the resale market. I feel like you can just get your money back out of them very easily, especially if they have the FF monogram across some part of the shoe. They're incredibly classy. They're very iconic. And I feel like they're just a really good investment value. Now, of course, they are shoes. So if you wear them, you are not going to be able to get your initial investment value back out of it. But I just find them to hold their value a lot more than other brands' shoes do. And that's why I gave this the best category. I feel like if maybe I thought about it longer, I could have come up with maybe a different something, but I don't know. I stand by shoes. I feel like shoes is a really good item to buy from Fendi, and you're going to get most of your original investment back out of it. Now, number one in the worst category was an easy one. That is the Fendi straps. The Fendi straps are so expensive. They are literally like $1,600 for the Fendi logo strap, and that must really be because most people that buy peekaboos want it to be recognizable as Fendi, so a lot of them do add those Fendi logo straps as a bit of a symbol that this is a peekaboo, this is Fendi, and they're just like, I don't know, capitalizing on that fact and really hyping up the price. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how expensive Fendi straps are, and they absolutely do not go for that much on the resale market because nobody wants to buy a $1,600 just strap, right? I mean, that's like a whole bag from another brand that you could buy. So yeah, definitely in the worst category is Fendi bag straps. Next, we have Prada. Now, Prada is another quite interesting one. There's two different sides to Prada. There's a lot of different logos and a lot of different types of Prada. There's Prada Milano, and then there's just your standard Prada. There's the Prada Saffiano bag that was incredibly popular for a while. It still is a great work bag. And that's why I kind of had a hard time picking just one item that I thought was going to be the best out of the whole of Prada. So I said this instead. I said anything with the triangle plaque because I feel like the triangle plaque is the most iconic part of Prada, meaning if it has the triangle plaque on the bag or it has it on the shoe, then it's going to hold its value just a little bit better than the other options. And not to say that the other options won't also hold their value very well, but I just feel like that Prada plaque is very iconic and is the most recognizable part of Prada. So if it has that on it, it's going to be one of the better options in Prada to hold its value long term. Now, coming in number one in the worst item you can buy from Prada, I'm going to say ready-to-wear. Ready-to-wear from Prada is very, very chic. It's very cool, sophisticated, great quality, but brand recognition? Oof, absolutely not. Only if you know Prada very, very well would you be able to recognize somebody wearing a Prada t-shirt from across the road. It is not very logo heavy. It is not very recognizable and therefore is not going to retain its value long term. There's not a lot of people that want to buy a very expensive Prada shirt when you can't tell it's Prada. So that is why I put it as number one in the worst category from Prada. Okay, nearing the end, last but not least, I'm sure I left out a few other brands here. Let me know if there's any brands that I left out or if there's any brands you want me to do in the future. This was kind of a fun game. Again, all lighthearted, just my opinion, but I think it's kind of a fun conversation topic, right? All right, very last is Yves Saint Laurent. In the best category for Yves Saint Laurent is bags. I mean, is anyone surprised? They have some iconic YSL classic, like luxury starter kit bags that very much have a cult following. And of course, I'm talking about The Kate bag. The Kate bag is the iconic envelope flap with the tassel, and it has YSL down the center. It is one of the most classic bags from Yves Saint Laurent, and therefore definitely belongs in the number one best investment value category. But I will say an honorable mention. I really, really love the eye care bag. It's very, very trendy right now, but I think it has all the earmarks of something that could very much last the test of time and be very, very classic. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it is the sort of boho tote bag that has a huge YSL logo on the front, but it is super cool, super iconic, again, super trendy right now. It's a very cool girl vibe. I think they did a campaign with Justin Bieber's wife. Everyone's going to kill me for not knowing her name. They're literally going to kill me. They're going to murder me in the streets for this. Wait. Hailey Bieber. All right, guys, listen. I'm sorry, okay? This is a formal apology from me to you. I'm sorry. I know everybody loves her. I'm like the kind of person that knows like all the CEOs of like the Fortune 500 companies off the top of my head, but like celebrities, like not so much. Like, this is who I am. I'm sorry. I came up with it in the end though, okay? Anyways, they did a campaign with Hailey Bieber and everybody just like died over it. It is a really cool bag. I even want that bag a little bit. Like, I'm trying not to buy it because it's expensive, but like it's really cool. So anyways, that's another kind of honorable mention. But to wrap it all up, in the worst category for Yves Saint Laurent, without a doubt, is, we're seeing a trend here. It's the ready-to-wear. The ready-to-wear from Yves Saint Laurent is so expensive. It is like Chanel price expensive, and it is very, very minimal brand recognition. You cannot tell that those fishnet leggings are from YSL at all, but they definitely are $4,000+, which is kind of crazy to me coming from a brand that typically is very logo heavy, right? You have the tribute sandals with the YSL logo, of course, the Kate bag, YSL logo, and a lot of their most beloved items have that YSL logo on them. So for their ready-to-wear to be completely the opposite and a very, very minimal branding whatsoever is kind of the opposite of what they've done with their most popular items. So I find that like an interesting move for their ready-to-wear section. But it is very fashion. It is very cool. There's definitely some really cool iconic pieces in the ready-to-wear section in general. But overall, investment-wise, definitely wins the worst category in the number one spot for the worst investment that you can buy from YSL. And that is the last brand today. Again, I'm so curious to see what you thought about this, if you agreed with me, if you absolutely disagreed. I think it'll be a really fun conversation starter to chat about why and how we think what we think. So definitely let me know in the comments down below. And while you're down there, pretty please rate this podcast. It very much helps out a brand new podcast like mine. And subscribe to the YouTube channel if you are not already. I upload on this channel every single day. I promise it's a really fun time around here, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye! Men on the ring, you wear it every day. The cost per wear of that ring is very, very low. So overall, oh, it just flashed on my camera too, right? My, it's storming that hard. Okay. I also upload these episodes. I just moved my hands really weird. I also upload these episodes, are thriving in our appreciated asset. That's not a word, but it's fine. Use that.